You're listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. We're bringing in some of the best baseball minds you can find anywhere. I'm your host, Harold Mazingo. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe, give us a rating, share with your friends, do whatever you got to do so we can keep this train rolling. Now let's dive in. All right, it's early on in the baseball season, so you know what that means. More arm injuries. So we've seen a lot of news recently, right, about the injuries going on in baseball, all of the elbow injuries and all that are going on. So everyone thinks there's a major problem, right? And this is something we deal with every single year. You turn on MLB Network, you're going to see a bunch of doctors on there discussing what's leading to this, what can be done, all that sort of thing, right? So let's dive in. What actually can be done? So last week, I put a post on Facebook about a quote from Dr. James Andrews talking about velocity leading to arm injuries. And is it really that simplistic? Or is there a lot of factors, right? And I'll be honest, I don't really know the answer to all of this. I don't think anyone does. And I think that's a big part of the problem that we've had over the last 20, 25 years, right? We've had leading experts, quote unquote leading experts. They're experts in their own right, right? But whether or not they're experts on what we're talking about here, who knows, right? But they've put a lot of money, effort, research into this topic, and we've come up with different things all the time. And so far, it doesn't seem like anything's working. So on one hand, we have a bunch of people out there to talk about pitching mechanics leading to all of this, right? We have people saying overuse. We have people saying underuse. We have people saying that this trend to chase velocity is what's leading to this, right? And the reality is probably all of them are somewhat right and also very wrong. On a simplistic note, this is what we do know. This is the only thing that we do know, and I can't stress this enough. I'm not going to make this a long podcast, but this is what is known. The harder you throw, the more at risk you are for a serious arm injury. It really is that simple. Just from a common sense standpoint, right? The harder you throw, the more torque is being placed on your UCL, the more stress is being placed there. You're asking your body to do more, right? And that's just kind of a common sense approach to this. That is the biggest factor that we know. And that's kind of what Dr. Andrews was alluding to, that throwing faster does increase your likelihood of getting hurt. Now, and the reason I wanted to come on here and do this today, several people saw that post I put on Facebook and thought that meant that this whole idea that we have now of chasing velocity was exactly why we're seeing these injuries. Like, aha, gotcha, right? That's not what we're getting at here, okay? Now, are we pushing things too much too soon? The answer to that is probably. And that may be a huge deal behind this, right? But we don't know. Nothing's really known with this. And what I mean by that is that velocity is up throughout the board, right? Like professionally all the way down. Just kids are throwing harder than ever before. And that's the one thing that's known. That is that you throw harder, you got more stress, right? Should be simple enough. I don't need to keep saying that, but it should seem simple enough. So in order for these kids to advance beyond high school, we know that they need a certain threshold of velocity. And I know it's fun to say that it doesn't matter, but the reality is it does. And just telling parents that it doesn't is a, I don't know the right word, but it's not, I couldn't in good faith say that to parents, right? So it does matter. College coaches, when they call about a kid, it's one of the first questions they're going to ask, what's his velocity? When professional scouts are evaluating talent, it's one of the things that they're gonna look at. They want to know velocity. It doesn't mean it's everything, and no one's ever said otherwise. And I don't know where we got so off track with that. Baseball 101 is that you have to throw strikes. Everyone's got that. You can't be any good if you don't throw any strikes. Everyone understands that. It just doesn't need to be said. What's understood doesn't need to be said. And I don't know where we got so off base with that. But anyways. So what's happening is that everyone's feeling that pressure, right? And it starts at the highest level, trickles its way down. So even at the very, very beginning stages, and Just so everyone knows, I am currently coaching in the coach pitch division, which is for 6 to 8 year olds, and the minor division in Little League, which is for 8 to 10 year olds, that introductory level to kid pitch baseball. And even there, people get so consumed in, and I don't mean consumed in velocity, but they get consumed in like how well their kids are doing. And by how well their kids are doing, usually at that level means, can they throw the ball where people swing and miss, right? And they get so caught up with strikeouts. Which is fine. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying it's just the reality of what's going on. It used to be a thing, like I remember when I was younger, you would always hear coaches say, just let him hit it. I don't hear that hardly ever anymore. It's just not something that happens a lot of the times. And like I said, everyone's become so enamored on how their kids are doing. They're so worried about them failing. So if they're out there and the other team's making contact, they look at that as like a negative thing because the kids struggle to make plays and this and that, right? And it's just the nature of the beast. Anyways, long-winded way of trying to explain here that we do have a culture very different than the culture that we had 20, 25 years ago. And I'm not saying it's right, wrong, and different. It just is different. And we're going to have to understand that there are some problems with that. And one of the problems is, what Dr. Andrews was alluding to, is that high school kids are throwing 90 miles an hour everywhere now. And that becomes a little problematic because their structures aren't strong and sound enough yet to take on that sort of stress and torque on the UCL, right? And that's just kind of how it works. What happened over the weekend was I was at a 10U, I don't know, I don't want to call it a tournament. We weren't playing a tournament, but I was at a 10U baseball event, and a parent came up to me and asked me about my Facebook post. And we talked about like what could be done, what is it supposed to mean, right? And it got us down this rabbit hole, if you will, of what velocity development should look like. So I talked about this in the e-guide I wrote years ago in Young Guns, for anybody's that doesn't know what I'm talking about. And I also did a video series on this. And I talked about velocity development by the stages, what it's supposed to look like. So velocity development is going to be a key thing that you're going to train for. It's just going to look different for the young amateur players who aren't real physically mature yet, as it does with the college and professional guys that are a little bit more physically mature, right? So we've got to take all of that into consideration at the youngest stages of the game. And I have always been one, I will admit it on here. I have told parents and followers, if you will, I hate to use that word, but followers on social media that the kids need to learn to throw hard, right? And they do. We want them trying to throw through targets, not just to it, right? So we want that kind of blend. We don't want them like just absolutely ripping every pitch. Right, we don't want that because we are placing max torque on every pitch, and that probably does become very problematic when we're trying to throw as hard as we can every pitch. But we do want to train to be able to go to new heights. But at the youngest level, that means their movement, right? We want to establish dynamic athletic movements with the young kids and help them learn to throw with some intensity, right? But we don't want to go max intensity every single pitch. We want to train for velocity. And then something that we talk about is like max speed versus cruising speed. We don't need to throw as hard as we can on every pitch. And I know that's not what everyone wants to hear, but that's just kind of how I view it. You want to be at your cruising altitude. You want to train to increase your peak speeds, which would also increase your cruising speeds, right? So to speak. Hopefully that makes sense. And then as we get older and more mature, then we can do some more advanced stages of velocity development. But at the youngest phases of that development, we do not need to do a ton of high intensity, especially with volume type throwing. It needs to be stuff where we're moving our body more explosively just to train it that way. But it doesn't need to be a ton of like the run and gun style throws with the young kids. We do them on occasion. I'm not saying we don't. But it doesn't need to be all the time, right? It just needs to be learning them to explore some freedom and movement, getting them super athletic by nature, and then slowly working towards that, right? All leading back to the idea of the high school kids. Once these kids are getting to the high school ages now, they are throwing at velocities that become dangerous. I hate to say it that way, but it does become a risk versus reward scenario. There's some serious reward at the other end with college scholarships, and if you're good enough with signing bonuses and professional baseball and things like that, right? But with that, there is the flip side of the reward. I mean, the risk, I'm sorry. So there are high risks. Just like most things in life, if you want those big rewards, you're going to have to be willing to take some risk. And I know no one wants to hear people say that when we're talking about young kids, but that's just kind of, again, in a simplistic version, is what it is, right? And not to be passive on that at all, because I'm very cautious with that, and I feel for anyone going through anything. I've been there myself, but it is kind of just the nature of the beast. And again, reverting back to the thing Dr. Andrews put out, when we're talking about these high school kids and they're feeling the pressure, the parents are feeling the pressure. They're watching all their friends, or not their friends, but their teammates that throw hard get these scholarships, and they're not, even though they're putting up better numbers and throwing more strikes. And then we want to look back and be like, well, what's going on, right? And it just becomes, they know what this is. It's not difficult. So the kids start pushing. They're throwing harder than ever. And I think Dr. Andrews, I'm not looking at it in front of me, but I think he was talking about the UCL becoming fully developed somewhere around 26 years old. I could be off on that, but I think it's somewhere around 26. And now we have these young kids. And when I boy, young kids, I'm talking 15, 16, 17 years old, that are throwing 85 plus just about everywhere now. And even me saying that, somebody's going to hear me say 85 and be like, oh, that's not very hard. It's extremely hard for a kid that age. We've just, again, rushed the process quite a bit. I don't know how long ago it's been. Mazingo Baseball opened in 2012, I guess. I'm in my current facility since 2013. So somewhere around 2013, I created this little printout doing a bunch of research and all. And I was showing the dangers of throwing hard, and just kind of, I think the title of it was The Cost of a Dream, right? So just trying to show the kids, not only the kids, but their parents alike, that there are big risks involved in this. And I think what I remember from that thing, I was trying to find it the other day, and I couldn't find it. But I think that was showing that once you get above that 85 mile per hour threshold, your likelihood of having a significant arm injury goes up astronomically, just skyrockets immediately once you get to the 85 range. And again, it just becomes, you're asking too much on your body. You're placing too much demand on your body for what your body is capable of. So that's why we do want to make this a slow process and develop in stages and make sure we're not just pushing intensity and volume and making sure we're doing the strength training stuff, because the UCL itself can't handle the torque placed when we throw that hard. It has to draw support from the support structure, the surrounding musculature and soft tissue and the fascia and all of these things that play a role. The UCL by itself is never going to be strong enough. And then, so just to veer off of that a little bit and talk about these injuries a little bit, we're going to talk specifically about Tommy John here for a minute, or a UCL rupture, not necessarily Tommy John. That's how you fix it. Or one way you fix it, right? But the UCL itself being vulnerable and how it tears and this and that, right? So just something local that kind of came up, and I'll try to do my best to explain on here. In talking about what actually happens, right? So you usually have, not usually, sorry, but you have kind of two different ways that the UCL tears. You have these chronic injuries. They kind of linger over time, and you're talking like tears in fabric, right? Where just little by little, the fabric is tearing more and more and more, just fraying here and there. And then finally, it becomes too big and it's ripped, and it becomes where it's got to be fixed. Then you have the acute injuries, were kind of like a one-off thing. And in, again, going back to the UCL not being strong enough on its own, if it was just up to the UCL, the UCL would, in theory, snap on every single pitch that we throw at a high enough velocity. It just can't handle those stresses. And that's kind of what I mean by acute. It just happens all of a sudden. So that most of the time when you're doing that, you're dealing with guys that feel like that popping sensation in their arm, right? It just happens. That means that one pitch was just too much for the body to handle. And it happens that way, and it happens the chronic way, building up over time. And obviously, there's a lot of different ways to fix things now, depending on the severity. We're not going to go into that rabbit hole today, but I just wanted to kind of say all that to talk about like these differences in the thought process. Is it, tie it all back in, is it something mechanically that pitchers are doing? I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes. It's a maybe for me. I do think, going back to what I said about velocity development and stages, the more we can train them to be more athletic and dynamic in nature and have some freedom to explore, I think that's going to help them long term. It's also why I personally am a fan of, and this is, I think, why the old school, quote unquote, old school mentality of playing multiple sports came, was so prevalent for a while and still is. You just get kids learning to be more athletic, using different movement patterns, right? Just training them to have some more variety and freedom in their movements, which I think is a very, very big deal for younger athletes. I'm not going to force athletes to play multiple sports because sometimes they just don't like other sports, and that's okay too. We just got to get creative in what we're doing with them, to mimic what they would be doing in other sports and getting them outside of just being kind of one-dimensional with baseball, right? Hopefully that makes some sense. And then keep progressing and develop some strength and all that stuff, because as they get older and their bodies are growing, their mechanics, quote unquote mechanics, are going to change. I hate the word mechanics, by the way. I use movement patterns is what I always use. I'm saying mechanics on here so everybody understands what I'm talking about. But their movement patterns change over time as they're growing, they're adding muscle. They're making adaptations. Like, the body's going to make adaptations. The more you throw, the body just does certain things. Like, external rotation becomes increased on the throwing side shoulder. Internal rotation usually decreases. Just kind of how it works. It's an adaptation to throwing a ball repetitively. But anyways, so is it overuse? Again, not yes, not no. We do have a lot of different rules, pitch counts here and there with different different associations. Like, I'm involved in Little League and the travel ball side with USSSA. They're very different kind of pitch limits, and there's way too much, I don't, there's just a lot of overlap, right? So if kids are playing Little League and they're playing USSSA, USSSA has its rules, Little League has its rules. But if you're playing both, there's no set of rules for that. So you kind of leave it up to parents and coaches to kind of monitor that themselves. And hopefully that's what's going on. I know I do with my travel ball teams and my Little League teams. I always want to know when they're pitching, so we're not running those risks. So moving on from that, is it underuse? We have a situation where kids are throwing a lot at a time, but not necessarily very frequently. And that could be a problem too. When we're asking the body to just make drastic changes, like never throw, you might throw 2 days a week, just not throw much, not throw much, and then boom, go out and throw 100 pitches. That's a drastic change to the body and a shock, and that doesn't leave the body in a great situation either. So is 100 pitches too much for a high school kid? I'm not going to say yes, I'm not going to say no, but there probably is a way to be built up to that. And there are instances where kids just aren't throwing, and then they're asked to do that. So that would, in certain people's eyes, that would be overuse. In another faction of people, that would be an underuse issue, just undertrained, if so to speak, right? And I think that's about where we are with the stuff, right? Just understanding that it is a dangerous game. It's a lot of wear and tear on the body, the arm in particular, and we're specifically talking about the UCL here today, to go out and try to throw a baseball hard, and especially trying to throw at max velocities all the time. There is, obviously, it's a very glamorous thing if you become good at it. So again, just my take on this, and I'm going to wrap up here, but my take on this is it does become a risk-reward thing. There are certain things I think we can be doing. I don't think it's as simple as what certain people try to make it out to be, where it's just a mechanical thing. Like, you have bad mechanics, so that's why you're getting hurt. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's as simple as, oh, you threw 120 pitches today. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's as simple as, oh, you haven't thrown all week. Now you try to throw 75 pitches. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, they're trying to chase velocity. I don't think any of that is that simple. I just think we have a situation where the younger generation of kids, they are pushing the envelope here for what their bodies are capable of in search of greatness. And there's some value in chasing greatness. So I'm certainly not going to be the one to tell them not to do that, because not everyone's going to be naturally gifted. And we know there are certain ways to increase your likelihood to throw harder and things like that. It can be trained some. So, and I'm not going to be the one to tell someone they shouldn't do that. It's not my story to write. It's their own story to write. I think it's up to the individuals and their parents and just everyone in their surroundings to figure out what's right for them and try to place them in the best hands and understand that it does come with significant dangers as you start to progress. And most older people that kind of dismiss some of the stuff that we're talking about and just say, well, you know, I worked with kids for years and I never had to deal with arm injuries. Most of the time when you hear stuff like that, and I shouldn't even say older generations because it's still happening today, but most of those people are never working with high level enough athletes to ever deal with arm injuries. The safest way to not get hurt is to kind of stay on the couch and watch from the sidelines. Those with skin in the game and are really trying to push things to the next level, you're going to have to understand there are some big risks involved and just kind of decide for yourself what's worth chasing and what's not. And I guess that's the best way I can put it. So we'll wrap this up. Over and out. Thanks for listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the channel so you can get notified when the latest episodes are coming out. Share it with all your friends. Leave us a review. Be sure to check me out on all the social media accounts. It's going to be @Mazingo Baseball. And check out the website, MazingoBaseball.com.